Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
In this podcast and many others, we offer lots of advice to parents. But how is family therapy different from offering parenting advice? Well, we'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, What's Family Therapy Really Like? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get the enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, come on, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your questions, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, today we're answering a question from Hannah from Littleton, Colorado. And Hannah writes, I listened to your podcast about dealing with kids who are in a self-destructive cycle. I liked your advice, but it's more challenging in our family. My husband acts frustrated, angry, and wounded every time the kids don't follow through on their responsibilities. I keep trying to get him to see that they are good kids and not to make such a big deal about everything, so there is a chronic tension in our family with me supporting the kids even though they do screw up some, and my husband being frustrated with me and them. Our daughter is 16 and our son 14, and I'd like to see them try harder in school and be more cooperative, but I'm not willing to come down on them like their father does. I understand that we're all playing a role here, so here's my question. We live in another part of the country, so coming to see you isn't likely, but if a family like ours were to come see you, what would you advise each of us? Well, Hannah, what a terrific question, and you're right. Everyone is playing a role in a negative pattern or the control battle, and so everyone has the opportunity to starve the control battle beast, as I've been inclined to call the control battle. So psychotherapy, including family therapy, involves having two things. One is a model to help folks with, and then, of course, then there's the art of applying the model, how we listen, empathize, support, and then challenge, with the idea of helping people shift from a negative pattern into a positive one. And since I don't have any real people in front of me now, I can only give you a rough sketch of what I'd be thinking about in ways I might engage with family members. I'd start by understanding everyone's pain points and the rationale for their current behavior. Having done that, I would introduce the concept of the beast and show everyone how their attitude and behavior feeds it. And then I'd offer everyone a new rationale and healthy options, and I would challenge them to take the healthy options with an understanding that when they don't, they're feeding the beast or engaging, supporting the control battle. So, Hannah, on the basis of the limited information you've given me, let me give you some ideas from my experiences with similar situations over the years. Please keep in mind these are examples. They do not, I repeat, do not directly apply to your family. Of course, I'd have the family members engaging with each other for a good portion of the session. It wouldn't be me doing all the talking, but they're not here now. I would help them talk with each other in new and healthier ways, but today I'll give you a window into the kinds of conversations I'd be having with the families. Here's a rough sketch on the basis of what you've told me about how your family feeds the beast. In other words, how you all end up in an unproductive control battle. It goes something like this. Your husband supports the beast by personalizing the kids' behaviors and yours, and bringing a negative tone to interactions. You, Hannah, feed the beast by judging rather than supporting your husband and by getting in between him and the kids. And the kids feed the beast by avoiding their responsibilities and complaining about dad rather than respecting his standards and doing their best. Hannah, let's start with you since you're the one signing up for this. Let's pretend I've talked with everyone in the family and now I'm offering up some observations. Hannah, it's great that you care about your kids' feelings and want you and your husband to parent positively. Right now, your support of the kids may very well be interpreted by them and by your husband as support for their negative behavior and undermining of his standards and expectations. Hannah, you need to trust and support your husband. Help him be more positive in his tone, yet thank him for taking an active parenting role and wanting the kids to do their best. Using your positive tone, how can you support the kids in cooperating and doing their best? You have a tendency, Hannah, to judge your husband rather than support him. Let's look at what might be driving this. Okay, some adults who took on adult functions as children maybe looked after younger siblings because parents were not functional for one reason or another. Adults like that can have a tendency to try to control situations, and they can be judgmental of others. Are there any circumstances in your childhood that may have programmed you for judgment and control? So, Hannah, the bottom line is, when you admonish your husband rather than find a way to support him, you're feeding the control battle beast. If you can't find a positive way to engage, simply don't engage. The kids and their dad will work it out. If you do engage, bring the positive energy you want to see your husband bring. That's how you'll starve the beast. And here's what I might say to your husband. And I'm going to call your husband Mike. Hey, Mike. I'm glad to see that you expect your kids to manage their responsibilities and do their best work for school. You've got really smart, capable kids, so you should expect a lot from them. My concern, Mike, is that you've somehow become the bad guy in this family and that it's undermining your effectiveness as a parent. And I'm sure it isn't making you very happy either. Yes, I can see how Hannah could support you more, and yes, I can see how the kids could do a lot better. But let's look at how you're participating in feeding the beast, how you're undermining your own effectiveness. You've got the right idea when it comes to expecting a lot from your kids. You've got the right idea there. But when someone objects, rather than listening to their feelings and working with them, you get your feelings hurt and you get upset with them and it turns into a fight rather than a discussion. And once that happens, we've forgotten the goal of supporting the kids and doing their best, and you've refocused everyone on your emotions of hurt and anger. And that includes your kids crying, "Daddy's mean," and Hannah focusing on their hurt feelings and not your goal of the kids being more cooperative and responsible. Mike, does that make sense? Now, there's a reason you're going to hurt feelings and anger. I'm guessing it has something to do with you getting your feelings hurt a lot in childhood, not being listened to and not respected. I don't know this for sure, but when your kids don't cooperate, it could be that it plugs right into those childhood feelings and you get activated there. This is how we get a fat, happy beast. We need to find a way for you to have more confidence in yourself, your kids, and in Hannah. There's nothing wrong with your expectations, just with your expectation that there will never be resistance. So, let's find better and healthier ways to deal with adolescent resistance and turn their resistance into learning and growing opportunities, because that's what this is all about. It's not about having kids that always do things right. It's about kids that learn and grow. And when you react to your teenagers and your wife's behavior with hurt and anger, you're giving away your power. The way you empower yourself is to stay true to your values and your goals. Instead of going to hurt and anger, stay positive, persistent, and clear. When you go negative, you make the beast fat and happy. Got it, Mike? Now, how will I talk with the kids? Well, it could go something like this. You didn't give me a lot of information about them, but here we go. Kids, I see how smart and talented and well-spoken you are. You're really impressive young people. Here's my concern. My concern is that you're putting your energy into fighting, arguing, justifying, and avoiding rather than simply doing your best. So where you could both be getting all A's or at least A's and B's, you're way under that. Where you could have a lot more privileges that you'd like, such as the opportunity to do more things independently with friends, for your the older teen, have a driver's license, more control over your use of time, when you work, when you enjoy recreation. You're embroiled in family fighting, and instead your privileges are limited. And I see how the family dynamic is hurting you. I see how your compromised relationship with your dad is hurting you both. It's leading to frustration, hurt feelings, and even self-righteousness. And I don't know if you know this, but it's hurting your self-esteem. How would it feel if you were on top of your work? Wouldn't that feel fabulous? I know it feels to both of you as if your father has all the power here and you don't. I'm guessing that you're thinking it's a good thing that mom understands you, but actually it isn't. And why do I think that? It's because it's keeping you from working things out with your dad and getting on a better path forward with yourself and with him. What your dad is expecting from you is reasonable, that you manage your responsibilities up to the best of your ability and cooperate when he or your mom needs something from you. What he does that isn't reasonable is get upset and negative when you aren't doing those things, rather than communicate positively and make sure you understand that your privileges are based on your effort. I hear you. No kid snaps to it the minute their parent speaks. That's true. But when your dad gets upset, it's usually not the first time he's asked for something. And it's actually part of a pattern of poor responses to his requests. So if you want to change your father's attitude towards you, change your attitude towards him. When he asks for something, respond respectfully and make it your intention to cooperate. He'll get it, and he'll work with you, being flexible and positive when he knows you're doing your best, when you're trying. When you put your energy into resisting your dad, you're feeding the negativity that lives in your family. And I know that you know what I mean. You feel it. That's why I call it the beast. It's an invisible force that's just as real as if it was sitting in the middle of the room right now and stealing the love and good feelings you can all have and share together. The beast is keeping you from being a truly happy family. Let's starve the beast and bring happiness back to your family. Come on, kids. You're worth it. You're fabulous kids. So family, each of you has the power to feed or starve the beast. I know all of you are feeling right now that your behavior is based on the other family's members' behavior. But here's the truth. You're each far more powerful than you think. I challenge each of you to take a big piece of my advice with you, and when you leave today, give it a try for a week. Wake up every day with your new attitude and new behavior and give it a try for 1 week. And when we meet next week, let me know how the beast is doing. Is it fat and happy? Or is the family winning while the beast fades away? So listeners, we're all family members and many of us are family helpers. So let's share the good news that our empowered selves stars the beast. When we bring our best selves to our intimates, particularly when the mood is grim, that could be exactly the dose of oxygen that everybody needs, and it might just be enough to empower the family and starve the beast. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, listeners, and special thanks to you, Hannah, for your right-on question. And I'd like to remind everyone that my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle, is available in print, Kindle, and audio. So there's a modality there for you, and it is getting into the giving season, so you know someone with an adolescent that could use a book? Here's a good one for you. And if you'd like to use my book as a guide for parenting education or a support group, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to visit your group via a remote meeting platform to meet folks and answer questions. But for now, please remember, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.